Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. 92 years ago, Southwest Radio Ministries was founded. In April 1933, our founder, Dr. E.F. Weber, declared for the first time that God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. This week, Billy Crone will reveal details about the global elites and the Antichrist. Dr. Carl Baugh will share how you can have an eternal impact in the South Pacific. While today, the day after we all celebrated Easter, we're going to learn more about the resurrection. As we celebrate Anniversary Month, would you please consider sharing an anniversary gift with the ministry? Your gift will help Watchmen on the Wall and Southwest Radio Ministries continue to produce programming and resources that share the truth of the gospel. It's like giving a birthday gift that has an eternal impact. You can give your gift at our website, swrc.com, or by calling 1-800-652-1144. Thank you, friends, for your continued financial support as we begin another year, our 93rd of bringing Christ-centered clarity to the chaos. Time to go learn about the resurrection here on today's Watchmen on the Wall program.
The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, known as that resurrection chapter, just some 20 years after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, as he writes in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Here to help us unpack all about the cross and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ and what that means for us today is a frequent guest on Watchmen on the Wall and a dear friend of our ministry for a number of years now. It's Dr. Rob Lindstedt. Dr. Rob, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure to be with you, especially on this very special time of the year.
Absolutely. And we know that Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday was yesterday. And today we're just talking about the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and his resurrection. You have a wonderful book called The Power of the Cross. And Dr. Rob, I'll just give you some time to tell us the importance of these things, the truth of the cross, the truth of the resurrection.
You know, I enjoy going to Israel. Matter of fact, I've completed about 70 visits there. It just seemed like every time I would go there, I would be learning new things concerning the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ.
Amen.
So the result of that was I began to make some notes, or I took notes that I was using as we traveled. And before long, I realized that, wow, really, the seven sayings from the cross are such an important message. It's this transition time between him dying and him coming back to life. And so in The Power of the Cross, I take the seven phrases that Christ uttered, and I spend a chapter on each one of those, trying to make it practical, because I found it to be really almost a testimony of what Jesus had done with the disciples, what he was doing right then. He was completing our salvation. And then at the end, it's the idea that it's a completed work. He said it's finished.
Yes.
So, you know, and some of the insights, for example, here's the person who's the living water. You know, he could bring water out of a rock, as he did for the children of Israel. He's the one that invented H2O. He's the one that put water on the earth. He's the one that can hold back rain, or he can give rain. He can bring a flood, as he did in Noah's time. So here's the living water, and on the cross he says, "I thirst."
Mm.
The person who invented water. And the one who even made it so that we need water in our bodies. And he would say, "I thirst." Well, what a picture that is of the torment, the agony that he went through. And I think it's also significant because the Bible predicts that he would utter a phrase like that, asking for water. But it's also interesting because, you know, on the cross, they were giving vinegar to drink. And what a rude thing to do. And also, twice it says that they would use a sponge, and of course the sponge was the thing that the Roman soldiers used really for sanitary reasons. It's as filthy as it could be, And so it was meant to be a slap in the face. It was meant to be an insult. And here's Jesus, and he continues to die on the cross for my sins. So those are the kind of things that I wanted to discuss in this book. And, another one, he says, Father, forgive them. All of us have an opportunity sometime in our life to forgive somebody. You know, sooner or later, someone's going to offend us.
Yes.
Sooner or later, we're going to have to forgive somebody. And sometimes it takes us 5 months to forgive someone, or sometimes it takes us 5 years, or sometimes 20 years. But here's Jesus, and he's freshly nailed to the cross. The wounds are still dripping blood. The thorn of crowns is still pressed in his brow, and blood is dripping down his face. And that's when he says, Father, forgive them. He didn't have to wait 20 years. He didn't have to wait 5 years. He didn't have to wait 5 minutes. As this horrible deed is occurring, he has already forgiven those that did this deadly deed to him.
Yes.
And so, again, I see this as so important in terms of the whole work and ministry of Christ. And I think that three of those sayings were done in the daytime. And then I think the fourth one, the Eli, lama sabathani, I think, my God, why have you forsaken me? First of all, the first time he calls God the Father, God, always before it was Father. But when he bore my sin, the awfulness, the hideousness of my sin, when he's bearing that at that very moment, it's unique because it's dark. And in the darkness, the one who invented light, the one who made light, is shrouded in darkness because he's bearing the darkness, the awfulness of my sin, and the sin of the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
And so God forsakes him. You know, they've been together from eternity past. They'll be together for eternity future. But there was this moment in time on the cross during the sixth to the ninth hour that God, his Father, you could not be closer. Matter of fact, the Bible says that they're one.
Yes.
These that are one, these that have this unique union, God's going to forsake? Well, that shows you how bad my sin was.
Right.
But it had to be done, because without that, I could never be redeemed. And no one in the world could be redeemed. And so what a significant event it took place. And while I'm on this, can you tell I'm excited about this? Because think about the fact that, you know, the cup, there's a verse that talked about the agony that he had as he viewed the cup. And did it represent the physical suffering? I think it goes beyond that.
Mm.
Because in Jewish life, they say your life is like a cup. And at the beginning, it's sweet, tastes good, it's fresh. But as you get toward the end of life, as you get toward the end of your cup, well, now there's dregs. And whether it's dregs from wine or from coffee or tea, that last gulp is pretty wretched.
Mm.
And so in life, they say, well, as you come to the end of your cup of life, it's going to be horrible. But I think it's more than that physical thing, because what is he doing there? Why did he shy back? And I think that cup really represents the fact that why did he not want to take the cup? Here's someone who knew no sin. John says there's no sin in him. Peter said he did no sin. There was his body was foreign to sin until he went to the cross. And now the sin of the whole world, the sin of every individual is put on him. So in that cup is every foul, evil deed, every bad word I've ever said, every bad thought I've ever done, every murder that's ever been committed by a murder, every rape, every scene of pornography, every illicit thought and deed and motive is in that cup. No wonder he didn't want to drink it.
Yes.
But he said, not my will, but thy will be done. And so here's this one who is foreign to sin, never sinned. Wow, he drinks that cup. And so that's why I think these seven sayings of the Lord from the cross are just so important. And of course, if you could have a favorite one, I don't know. I think they all tie for favorite, but I love that last one. It is finished.
Amen.
Not I'm finished. He didn't say, I'm finished. He wasn't finished. he was going to come alive from the dead. There's no finishing to an eternal God.
Yes.
But he said, it is finished. It was a cry of victory. It wasn't a cry of defeat. But in victory, he said, it's finished. And what was finished? It was my eternal salvation. And so I'm on my way to heaven, not because of what I've done, not because of what I might do, not because of any possibility of something I could do a million years from now. I'm going to go to heaven because Jesus said, it is finished. And he was doing the work of salvation. And so I just took these seven sayings across Christ from the cross and tried to meditate on them and give people something to really enjoy about the work of the Lord on the cross.
Amen. And that is very powerful. And what Jesus has done for us on the cross, and Dr. Rob, I think about how that sometimes the enemies of Jesus, those who are opposed to him, said, we've got to stamp this man out. It's expedient if one man would die that we can save our nation or we can save our authority, different things like that. And yet what they didn't realize is that they were setting in motion the greatest victory in the world, the defeat of sin and Satan and evil. And God's plan was being accomplished even through what Satan intended for evil. And just like with Joseph in the Old Testament, what was intended for evil, God turned it into good. And what the host of darkness and the sinful people were trying to stamp out, God was accomplishing a great victory through the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are grateful for his cross. We are grateful for his resurrection. And friends, we are visiting with Dr. Rob Lindstedt. He's highlighting some of the wonderful information contained in his book, The Power of the Cross. If you'd like to get a copy of that, you can give us a call, 1-800-652-1144, or go online, swrc.com. Again, the name of the book is The Power of the Cross. And we are also excited to be joined with Dr. Rob Lindstedt, Mark Lindstedt, and a host of other wonderful people at the Sunrise Christian Academy in beautiful Bel Air, Kansas, coming up Friday and Saturday, May the 2nd and the 3rd. This is a wonderful Prophecy in the News live conference, and we encourage you to come join us there just outside of Wichita, Kansas, in Bel Air. It's going to be, again, Friday and Saturday, May the 2nd, May the 3rd. Registration is free, but we would like to know that you're coming so that we can be sure that we bring enough materials for all that will join us. You can register at swrc.com, click on events, click on this particular event, and there's all the details, who's speaking, what they're speaking about, and the times, and so much more information. swrc.com, click on events, and then click on this particular event. If you want to reach out to us for more information over the phone, you can give us a call. Again, the number is 1-800-652-1144. And Dr. Rob, we are so grateful for the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for us. And we are also grateful for the resurrection, that we serve a risen Savior. And I know that you speak about that in the book, and also you've got numerous teachings on that fact as well. So could you highlight some of that for our listeners today?
Josh, the book really has two parts. The first part is on the seven sayings from the cross. The second part has to do with the crucifixion and resurrection. And in those chapters, there's six more chapters, I say he's really the victor, not the victim.
Mm-hmm.
It ties in exactly with what you said. You know, here are the enemies of Christ, and they're doing everything they can to brutalize him, to beat him, to stab him in the side, to nail him to a cross. But, to strip him naked, to gamble for his clothes. They couldn't do one thing to him that wasn't foretold in God's word. And so they were actually fulfilling the promises and the prophecies of God. That's what's so incredible. I like how you compared it to Joseph. You know, here are the brothers, you know, they're trying to do him in.
Yes.
You know, they're brutal as they can be. But all they could do is make it so that God's will to save them would be the net result. So there's a verse in Matthew that says this, the enemies, they say, he saved others himself, he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him come down from the cross and we will believe him. Can't you just see him tossing that up to Jesus as they make these false accusations to Pilate? Well, he saved others. That's true. Next part. He cannot save himself. That's false. He could have. But if he saved himself, then he couldn't save us. So that's why he stayed on the cross.
Yes.
He had the power to come down. If he be the king of Israel. No, he was not just the king. He was the king of kings. And so here's what they're saying. Okay, let him come down from the cross. If he's really the king, let him come down from the cross. Now, the cross in those days, you know, we usually see in the artist's rendering, it's a big, tall pole. Looks like it's 15, 20 foot high. But the truth is, the cross of that day was usually on the side of the road. And so the victim was crucified so that as you walk by, you were almost eye level with him. Mm. You could look into his face to see the agony of it. And so they're saying, okay, come down. There's no doubt that there was a pedestal where his feet were nailed. But so they say, okay, if you'll come down from the cross, they wanted him to come down one more foot. He'd already come from heaven. He'd come from heaven to earth. Isn't that a far enough step down?
Amen.
But they said, no, down one more foot, and then we're going to believe you. Well, he didn't come down because of our salvation. But what I like is this. Yeah, he would not come down from the cross, but he would come up from the grave.
Yes.
And the power that he had when he came up from the grave. And so I call some of these chapters victor, not victim, majesty, not man, and then truth, and not on trial. You know, Pilate tried to make it so that it was about truth. And finally, Pilate says, what is truth?
Yes.
He then said, who is truth? He was looking at truth. You could not find more truth than looking into the face of Jesus Christ. And so I just take these situations that occurred at the crucifixion and the resurrection. And the last chapter is this one, glory, not the grave.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that the end of Jesus wasn't a grave.
Yes.
But it was glory. And so sometimes I challenge my students. I say, look, find another religion that gives you the hope that Christianity does. Find another religion that talks about defeating death. Find a belief system that gives you hope after this life. And there's none. There's not one that has anything close to resurrection. Some of them have a reincarnation, but you go through the whole process again. But resurrection is unique to Christianity. And it's the thing that seals our victory in Christ. You began by reading and quoting those verses in 1 Corinthians 15. You know, if there's no resurrection, then Christ isn't risen. If he isn't risen, then we have no hope. Our faith is vain. And thank God we not only have that hope, but it mentions in 1 Corinthians that he's going to reign, and he's going to reign over sin. That's why he could say it's finished on the cross. He reigns
yes.
over sin. And then he reigns over the devil, because the devil tried to talk him out of the cross. Even back in like Matthew chapter 4, when he's in the wilderness, he tried to talk him out of the cross. And he said, you know, if you'll fall down and worship me, I'll give you these kingdoms. You don't need to go to the cross. And Jesus said, no, I'll go to the cross.
Amen.
And so he's going to reign over sin. He finished the work. He canceled the work of my sin. He canceled and defeated the devil. And then it says, and then the enemy of death. You know, the power that something has to come alive. I was reading the other day in the book of Numbers, and it just struck me just right. They were trying to decide, it was God with Moses and Aaron. And so everybody brought an almond branch. And so here are these 12 almond branches. And one of them that's cut off from the tree buds, blooms, and has fruit. It's saying, okay, here's something that's dead. It's cut off from the source of life. And to show the power that God had in Moses and Aaron's stem, it bears fruit.
Yes.
What a picture of Jesus. They thought they cut him off. No, all they did, they allowed there to be an incredible display of power, because the power that allowed resurrection to occur, he said, that same power has been at work in us. And so resurrection is our Super Bowl.
Amen.
That's our great hope. And I look at the world, the world's dying. And the the Bible says the old man is wearing away. Mm-hmm. The old man is temporary. The flesh is temporary. But the new man can be renewed day by day, and we're renewed even to resurrection. So what a hope we have. And so this is our great time of the year.
Yes, it certainly is. And friends, we're visiting with Dr. Rob Lindstedt, and we're excited to join with them for a Prophecy in the News live event at the Sunrise Christian Academy in Bel Air, Kansas, Friday and Saturday, May the 2nd and the 3rd. Registration is free. You can go online to swrc.com, click on events, click on this upcoming event, and you can see all the details. Again, you can register right there on the website, or for more information over the phone, you can give us a call, 1-800-652-1144. We're discussing Dr. Rob Lindstedt's book, The Power of the Cross. It's available at swrc.com or by giving us a call. The number again is 1-800-652-1144. And Dr. Rob, we just got a few minutes left in today's program. I think it would be good to speak to those, both Christians and people who are listening who are unsaved. They don't know Jesus as their Savior. They haven't received this gift of salvation extended by the cross. Could you speak to both of those groups with the last few minutes that we have remaining in today's program?
Yes, I'd be glad to, because you see, all of us know that we're sinners. I talk to a lot of international students. I talk to a lot of college students as well as my own high school students, and it doesn't take long for them to realize, yeah, I've sinned. I've thought something bad. I've done something bad. I've had a bad motive. Some of them have even done some horrible crimes that are shocking. So what do we do with sin in front of a holy God? And the truth is, there's nothing I can do to remove that stain of sin. It's a permanent stain. But there's something that Christ has already done. And so today, if before God you honestly say, I'm a sinner, I agree with the Word of God, I agree with God Himself, the Bible says that all of sin, next it says that the wages of sin is death. And so I deserve death. I don't care if I sin once a day or 100 times a day, I deserve death. But what's amazing is that Jesus on the cross, He took my sin. He took all my sin. And then the Bible says in Corinthians, it says that when He took my sin, He gave me His righteousness. And now I can stand before God. And my friend, I want to invite you today to come and to receive Christ as your personal Savior. It's not enough to believe that He really existed. Yes, He did. Not even enough to believe that He died on the cross. But the devils believe that. But there comes a time when you say, Jesus Christ died for me, and I personally accept His payment on the cross, His blood shed, His death, His burial, His resurrection as the payment for my sin. I take Him as my personal Savior. And then I can tell you this, it's a life-changing decision. Because look at the disciples. Yeah, once they saw resurrection, there was no stopping. They might have been doubters and cowards before, but after death and resurrection, they were brave, they were emboldened, and they could hardly wait to tell people, even if they got thrown into prison, even if eventually cost them their lives. All of them died in a martyr. All of them were threatened in some capacity. But why could they stand? It's because they knew the truth of resurrection. My friend, that's what I want to leave you today. I want to leave you the fact that we have salvation no other way than through the finished work of Christ on the cross and His resurrection. And we have joy in life and joy throughout all eternity, because the most powerful message we can have is the power that Christ did die. He finished the work of salvation, and He's alive. He's alive right now. He's interceding for us. He's on the right hand of the Father right now, and He's coming again. And I invite you to come to Him as Savior. I invite you to live for Him, because He's coming back soon.
Amen. Yes, thank you so much, Dr. Rob. And friends, we encourage you to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior if you have not today. If you've got more questions about what that means, please reach out to us at SWRC. Maybe you've made that commitment. Well, we've got a free gift that we would like to put into your hands to help you understand some of the next steps that you can take as you begin this wonderful walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a life of faith, growing and developing in Him. So reach out to us so that we can put that into your hands so that you can grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the difference between Christianity and all the other world religions is that the other religions preach, do, and you don't know if you're going to make it to heaven or nirvana or reincarnation as something good until your life is ended, and then you find out where you've landed and how the scales balance or whatever the system may be. But with Christianity, it's all about what Jesus has done for us. And we can rest secure in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that our salvation is anchored not in our performance, but in all that Jesus has done for us. And that's what gives us the blessed hope as we await His soon coming, and we are anxious for that and looking forward to that. Dr. Rob, we look forward to speaking with you again soon. Thank you so much for your time today. Thank you so much for imparting this biblical insight to us.
Looking forward to being with you at the conference. It's a great joy for me to be with you and your listeners today.
The Power of the Cross by Rob Lindstedt is today's featured resource. In this powerful book, Dr. Lindstedt pours through the Word of God and teaches the details of the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. What really happened at the trial of Jesus? What was the significance of the seven sayings from the cross? Did the crucifixion make Jesus a victim or a victor? Why is the resurrection completely unique to Christianity? Dr. Rob Lindstedt answers these questions and much, much more in The Power of the Cross. Order The Power of the Cross today when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also order The Power of the Cross on our website, swrc.com. Friends, if you have a prayer need, would you let us pray for you? We consider it an honor to pray with you. Prayer requests come in from all over the country through the mail, on the phone, and now through a special email address, prayer@swrc.com. That's prayer@swrc.com. Or you can always just give us a call, 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Friends, we're so glad you're here today. If you're a new listener to Watchmen on the Wall, make sure you request your new listener pack. Inside, you'll find the latest issue of our Prophetic Observer newsletter and a special gift. Request your free new listener pack when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Tomorrow, we'll have important updates on this month's Africa Needs Jesus campaign and the upcoming Define the Demonic conference. So be sure to tune in by downloading our free SWRC mobile app, or you can simply subscribe to our Watchmen on the Wall podcast. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners like you. Visit swrc.com.